evening for the Divided Kingdom, the Cutting Edge News Program. This is Lou Caverly.
And Elizabeth Tuppett Caverly.
We're coming to you live on Global Star, Wednesday, April 17th. Visit our listening archives at DividedKingdomRadio.com. Hear our March China Danger Series programs and our April 3rd landmark Francis Scott Key Bridge coverage. Tonight, we begin our hard-hitting news under the theme, More Iniquities Abound. First up, America's takedown by sabotage and political betrayal, accompanied by vile threats to her very existence. Here is Gateway Pundit's headline, April 15th. Hezbollah flags wave at terrorist rally in New York City. Protesters assault American flag, that is, flag-waving counter-protester, and burn American flag, screaming, death to America. Last night we talked on air about signs of God's judgment on America, including a lightning strike on the Statue of Liberty. Many misguided Americans believe a political figure or political movement will save this country. But are these esteemed leaders and possible American statesmen repentant before Almighty God? No. No repentance from church or political leaders. Elizabeth has been watching the number 11. Here it is again, March 11th. InfoWars gets into the moral fray. Brother Bruce of American Prophecy comments, this ought to tell you Trump cannot be trusted. He is in bed with Big Pharma. Alex Jones issues a warning to Trump, disavow poison COVID shots now. Sean Miller, InfoWars, March 11th, 2024. Note, March 11th, yes, 11, the judgment number. After Trump's most recent statement about his love of the deadly COVID vaccine, and even claims that it's now a cancer cure, Jones goes on the attack politically. Trump continued the loving embrace of the lethal COVID injections that will only serve to separate him from his base as talk show hosts and others expose the vaccine-induced genocide. Alex Jones covered statements put out by former President Donald Trump on social media lauding COVID vaccines and even going so far as to claim they're now helping people, quote, beat cancer, unquote. Jones said, if I see any more of this from Trump, any more of this, I'm going to have to go on the warpath politically, Jones said on his Sunday show.
And then we go back to January 5th of 2024, Lou, and this was posted at a media site. Excuse me, let me look at that again, and that's an unusual website that we have. This time, and I could not see that. Just taking a look there. Mediaite, that's it, Mediaite.com, and this was Kathy Hall, and the headline was this, Trump shares messianic video about God sending him to save world. Former President Donald Trump is now at the go-to-any-lengths-necessary stage of his public career to get attention. To wit, he just posted a satirical version of Paul Harvey's famous So God Made a Farmer video in which he is the subject. And yes, it's just as creepy and a messianic bit of messaging that will cause many to cringe, but others to fall to their knees in supplication. The former president shared the video on his Truth Social account and was included in a slew of, quote, joking but not joking, and over-the-top political videos for which Trump is known. So you see, listeners, we're here looking at iniquities abound, and as Lou has been telling you now over a couple programs, the signs that he's been watching, including that solar eclipse that passed over seven cities in America that are all named Nineveh. And, of course, Nineveh was in Assyria. The Assyrians are the ones who came in and conquered the ancient Israelites when the cup of sin got too great. So we're now looking at our leaders. Are they repenting? And now we move to this headline. And again, this is the People's Voice. And its headline is, Biden says the Pope and I are on the same page. President Biden has told reporters that he and Pope Francis are, quote, on the same page regarding the crisis in Gaza. The Pope spoke with Biden on the telephone on Sunday to discuss the best way to address the latest developments in Israel and Gaza, the White House said in a statement. And now, this is Elizabeth Cuppet Caverly. I do not think that either one of them is going to publicize the information, the horrifying information that the political New World Order state of Israel, that aspect of it, is helping Turkey. There is money, there is help going to Turkey to help exterminate those Armenian Christians. It's a real genocide, but we're not hearing about that. We're just hearing about all the poor Palestinians, but we're not hearing about the Christians who are doomed. Why aren't we? Why aren't those, well, it's a plethora of pro-Israel Protestant congregations and ministries. Why aren't they bringing this out? No, because much of what is passing for evangelical Christianity is really worshiping mammon. They're getting money. They're taking people to Israel on big tours. They're getting a lot of money to keep their so-called ministries going. These ministries that told their people, such as Franklin Graham and Albert Mohler of the Southern Baptist, did take the shots. They listened to Francis Collins from the NIH, that Reverend Dr. Collins, that it was really what Jesus would want them to do. So that's where we're at. Why aren't we having judgment coming down on us? Why haven't we had more things than lightning strikes on the Statue of Liberty? And then we go on to the next headline. And again, this is the People's Voice, April 6th. United Nations says eradicating white people would solve climate change. Oh, isn't that a nice headline, Lou? And a hysterical headline.
Yeah.
And then we move right on. Now we get a little bit of truth. All vaccinated now have permanent heart damage, studies warn. And I believe this is newsaddicts.com, Hunter Fielding, and this was March 28th. Two major studies have just warned of a ticking time bomb after concluding that all recipients of COVID mRNA shots now have some degree of permanent heart damage. Health officials have long claimed that damage to the heart that caused myocarditis after the vaccines is just temporary. However, two independent studies have now found that the injections caused heart scarring in all people who receive the shots. And, you know, before we even move on, I really want to say a couple things. Some of you listeners already know that my late father, Charles Cuppet, in 1958, got very, very ill, and ostensibly he was lifting crates of potatoes, 10 high, and he later said, I felt something snap in my heart. Well, there were many missing pieces here, and many years after that, there was another missing piece that the first doctor, the family doctor he went to, asked him if he had had a sore throat. So it was possible that there was a strep infection that went from his throat to his heart. There were other factors involved, too. There always are in our health. We have emotional factors, too. My father was under a great deal of stress from some relatives who were basically using him as a slave to do their farm work because he was the baby of the family. His father had dropped dead when he was 12 years old, so he had five brothers. Some of them were 20 to 30 years older than he was. They became father figures, and they took advantage of him. And he was really the best, the brightest of the lot. What a wonderful human being. So at any rate, he ended up at age 48 in the hospital because the doctor said to him, he didn't want to go to the hospital. The doctor said, if you don't go today, Charles, you'll be dead. So he did listen. He went to the hospital, and it turned out to be, first, pericarditis. And that was an inflammation of the lining of the heart. But there were deeper wounds. He truly did have myocarditis. And to see this once very, very hardy man who was an outdoorsman, he did his own farm work. He went raccoon hunting. He never hunted deer. And he loved animals. So I don't really think he just wanted to bring down a buck that much. They were just too beautiful. As he went on his rural mail-carrying route up in the Allegheny Mountains, he loved the nature, a true nature lover, but a Christian, a strong Christian. So with my father, it was very shocking to me to see him sitting immobilized in a chair upstairs, not able to navigate the steps, and he was there month after month after month. And I couldn't believe that something like myocarditis could do this to a man. And then, of course, his will, his strong puppet will, took over. And in September, he told the cardiologist he was going back to work. And the cardiologist said, you'd better not do that, puppet. You'd better not risk that. You're not ready. He outlived the cardiologist by 20 years. And over the next 5 years, he gradually, as he said, rebuilt his heart. Very slowly, he brought more activity into his life, and he recovered rather well. But we always knew there was a weakness in the heart. Now, when you think about some of these young people who are damaged, in our local paper here, in the Eastern Maryland paper, there was featured the other day a 14-year-old boy with supposedly long COVID. And it was a dreadful story. The poor boy is so affected neurologically that he can't really walk. Oh, it's just an awful story. So the father, to try to cheer him up, had written sort of a children's book of hope. But I had to wonder, what was the real story? They didn't mention, had he had one of those shots? Had he had one of those gene COVID vax shots? Is that really what happened to that boy? You see, if we don't bring out the truth, the lies will just proliferate until they bring another pandemic on us. Whether it's the bird flu, whether it's Marburg, whatever it is, they're going to keep doing it. So now, here's this truth, this wake-up call, that everyone who was vaccinated has some permanent heart damage. We are committed to bringing out the truth during this awful time that we went through from 2020 to 2023, and basically the worst of it being from 2021 when Operation Warp Speed kicked in, Trump's wonderful Operation Warp Speed that we detail in our book. Fearlessly, we detail this COVID and coming chaos. We have a chapter about that Bible Center in Charleston, West Virginia, that was used as an injection site. We have a chapter about Appalachia being taken over. You don't want to miss this book, and we are proud of those listeners so far who have written to us requesting the book. That means we're reaching a lot of people who are awake spiritually, mentally. They want to know the truth. They want to stand in the gap as Jesus commanded us, God commanded us. We must stand against the evil. And we are just so proud of you listeners who have written for the book. And if you haven't gotten it yet, do just drop a little note to Lou. Just say, please send us your new book. And if you can, put $5 in or a few ones to help us cover the postage and mailing. Lou, we're so excited. We have 100 more books, don't we?
That's right. So anyone who wants that book, there's no reason you can't get it. All you have to do is write a little note to us.
To Lou Caverly, P.O. Box 28. Bethlehem, B-E-T-H-L-E-H-E-M, Maryland, 21. 21- 21609. And again, the P.O. Box is 28, Bethlehem, Maryland, 21609. And you will get the book that has all the color plates of some very, very interesting things. You will get a book that is very readable because you can read one chapter at a time. You can pick it. You don't have to read it consecutively. You can pick a chapter. For instance, if you want to pick the chapter on the children's horrors, you can pick that chapter and you can read about how the injection site began here in this country at Disneyland. You can read about the First Lady visiting while a little three-year-old celebrates his third birthday and at the same time is injected. You will read some things that you won't read anywhere else. So we do hope that some of you will write us. And if you know two or three other people you want to give the book to who will not trash it, but will put it on their shelves for the years to come as a record so that others may know, so that this can never be repeated again, just request. Say, I need two or three books. We'll be happy to send them to you. To Lou Caverly, P.O. Box 28, Bethlehem, Maryland, 21609. And so now we're moving on and we're still talking about this damage. It hasn't ended. I had another obituary. I think her name was Brenda and she was black and she was in her 50s. She died unexpectedly. The same old story, Lou. And now we have Hunter Fielding. And again, this is from newsaddicts.com, April 3rd. World-renowned virologist, raises alarm over imminent tsunami of death among COVID-vaxxed. A world-renowned virologist has just issued a red alert after discovering evidence showing that a massive tsunami of death and chaos among the COVID mRNA vaccinated is now imminent. Belgian virologist Geert Van den Bosch issued a grave warning of an imminent, quote, massive tsunami of COVID illnesses and deaths among the vaccinated that will collapse hospitals and cause financial, economic, and social chaos.
Does this next sinister, creepy news item comfort you, Elizabeth, and all of our listeners? Treat side effects of COVID shots. From newsaddicts.com. April 3rd, Hunter Fielding. Moderna has just unveiled new mRNA vaccines that the pharmaceutical giant has developed to treat the deadly side effects of COVID shots.
What? Am I delirious?
No, you
am
are
I
not.
Am I living in an Alice in Wonderland nightmare?
No, I will just interject one thing here. This will give Moderna a chance to, number one, calm down anybody who says, oh, yeah, shots caused illness. But they'll just say, oh, but that's okay because we have a new shot that'll take care of that. Plus, they'll make a lot of money off it.
Oh, that little boy in Eastern Maryland who's lying there with the long COVID, why, it's going to cure him instantly. He'll just jump up and he'll be normal again.
Well, don't hold your breath. This goes on to say, during its Vaccines Day event, that's in capital letters, by the way, so it's an actual date. During its Vaccines Day event for investors on March 28th, Moderna announced progress on multiple mRNA-based vaccines and therapeutic candidates in its quote-unquote pipeline. Then,
we have to interject again.
Yes, go
ahead. And we have all this controversy about Israel, Palestine, and you and I turned off a program that said, if we don't get rid of the Zionists, we'll all be Palestinians. Well, we know that broadcaster. That broadcaster left a production facility in the lurch twice without even notifying the production facility that he was leaving. Now, what kind of character does that person have who says, if we don't get rid of all the Zionists, we'll all be Palestinians? Well, I, for one, do have sympathy if the Palestinians were being starved, if the Israeli New World Order government was doing more evil. But we have to remember that the Palestinians are not little angels. We remember how they slaughtered people in Israel. And we remember there are evil people there on both sides. But we also remember that we have this death to America being chanted, and a lot of people don't have a very good historical memory. I think that we have to think about radical Islam because it's now being so assimilated. We have some senators and representatives, you know, who are part of this, and, oh, yes, they're so American. But, Lou, why don't you give a little history about the Barbary Pirates and Thomas Jefferson?
Well, the Barbary Pirates were off the north coast of Africa. In today's Algeria, I presume, Tunisia, one of those northwest African countries, and they were attacking all kinds of commercial ships, in particular Americans. And so finally, Thomas Jefferson had enough.
And who were these Barbary Pirates?
They were Muslims, and Jefferson had enough, and he sent the U.S. Marines. I believe it was the Marines. Anyway, the U.S. Armed Forces, the U.S. Navy, and put a stop to it, pure and simple. So they have, for centuries, been not the nicest people in the world. They were also largely responsible, the Arabs, for the slave trade. They were the ones who went into Central Africa, sub-Saharan Africa, and got the slaves to take out to the coast, to be delivered at various parts of the world, including the USA. Yes.
That's eye-opening to me, Lou.
Yeah, if you read a book called The White Nile by Ellen Moorhead, it's an older book, probably in most libraries. It has quite a discussion, and David Livingstone, the famous missionary, was one of the ones who helped to end that slave trade. He wrote a very widely distributed, I guess a more or less of a diary entry, in which he explained about a massacre in which the native peoples were massacred by these slave traders. And this was one of the main reasons why the slave trade was completely outlawed in Africa. But it took centuries to do that, and for centuries these Arabs had been coming down, going into the interior, and bringing out slaves. Now, they did it with the collusion of many black leaders. They were not guiltless either. They would sell their own men and women into slavery, but that's just one fact.
Doesn't that show us again, I hate to always bring up Eleanor Roosevelt because there were aspects about her I didn't like, of course, but when she said you have to look at the individual. So we here do not condemn any race. We're sure there would be some people who have emigrated here legally from Iran, maybe Iraq. We know a dear friend who married such a person, so her children have cousins in Iran. We love this woman. She's not going to be a radical Islamic figure. But we see now we're at such a point we're losing our country because rather than Thomas Jefferson, we have Biden opening the borders to the Chinese military men as well as the radical Muslims. So we're going to have to say we know there are some evil Jews, some Illuminati Jews, but not every Jew should be hated. And it's a sickness for some of our listeners to say they hate Pastor Jonathan Cahn, who happens to be Jewish, who was the only clergyman brave enough in America to ask publicly for Biden to repent. So we will not follow these programs that say ugly things about Jews as a nationality or, you know, they say they're a race. Well, they're not even a different race. We're all Caucasians, aren't we, Lou?
Yes, exactly. That's
we're
a,
all
that's
white
a
Caucasians.
Misstatement. It's
yes,
not a fact.
That shows the prejudice. And yeah, there's been a lot of that prejudice in the Jesuit corner and in the Roman Catholic Church. It's a sickness they needed to weed out a long time ago. But it was easy to blame a lot of things on the Jews, the Zionists, that the Jesuits were doing. So now you've told us what's going on there, and let's move on again.
And now we go to dailymail.co.uk. Tuberculosis outbreak at Chicago migrant shelters sparks urgent contact tracing, as officials say a fifth of Latin American arrivals carry the disease.
Well, now, I thought we had an earlier article a couple programs ago that soft-pedaled it nicely. This was a latent infection, and it hardly would cause any waves anywhere, Lou.
Well, that's what we read But listen to this. The Chicago Department of Public Health said a small number of cases were reported in a few different shelters around the city.
And you remember, you saw through that because they said most of it was latent and people would not be contagious. They would just give it to each other in the shelters. But you pointed out that they're leaving. They're getting work visas and stuff, and that something doesn't stay latent forever. It can go live, can it?
Well, sure it can, yes. Otherwise, there would never be any TB anywhere to affect anybody. Going on, health officials confirmed a fifth of Latin American arrivals carry TB. It's usually latent, not contagious, and usually asymptomatic.
In other words, if we have five of them in a room, one of them has it.
That's right.
Now, I call that significant.
Oh, it's highly significant.
And what are we going to do when leprosy comes? One of these times. That'll be interesting, too.
Yeah, or various other diseases.
Serious things. Yes,
yeah.
Go ahead, Lou.
The TB cases come from 55 measles cases. After 55 measles cases were detected in the city, the majority originating from the Pilsen Migrant Shelter. Those are a few of the summary points. This was by Alexa Cimino for DailyMail.com, published on the 4th of April. And it goes on to say, tuberculosis cases have been detected at migrant facilities in Chicago following a recent measles outbreak in the city shelters, sparking health officials to urgently start collecting and contact tracing. The Chicago Department of Public Health did not disclose the exact number of cases or which shelter it originated from, but confirmed that a small number of cases were reported in a few different shelters around the city. These outbreaks happen, and this is in quotes now, these outbreaks happen in close quarters, people who are living close to one another, said Associate Professor of Medicine, Infectious Diseases, and Global Health at the University of Chicago, Dr. Anuruddha Hazar, and she told that to Fox News, Channel 32, Chicago.
And Lou, you said something else there in that article that they didn't reveal the first shelter from which the disease began to spread. And now, Satan likes to do things in secrecy. And we recall our Northeast contact up there who first began to find out about the secretive shelter program of Governor Mara Healey in Massachusetts. These were covert. These were secret shelters, 40 of them, in which they were taking old hotels and commandeering them and putting the illegal aliens in, Operation Task Force shelter. And so you see this spotlight of truth had to shine on it, and then it had to be addressed. And just the same as what you were telling there about Livingston's book that played a big role in putting the spotlight on the slavery, correct?
Yes, that's right.
Now, we have a little book, but you know, we've always said it was God's book. We have not charged money for it. That's one thing. We haven't. And you listeners, some of you have helped us to pay for buying the books, even this latest shipment. A couple of you helped us. And when we think what a miracle the book is, when we were just going to put it in file folders sometime, we were just going to take some of our radio monologues, just put them in file folders, God wanted the best for his people, for his remnant. God abhors this murder of people, this clandestine COVID vax murdering going on in the name of mammon. He abhors what was done to that little boy that I read about with the long COVID. He wants you to get these books out like a mustard seed. Maybe millions won't read it. We don't know. But as Lou has said to me frequently, it only takes one Paul Revere. Haven't you?
Yes, that's exactly right. One Patrick Henry, one George Washington. One great figure to start the ball rolling.
Yes, and you know what? I misspoke. You've always said not Paul Revere. But, you know, I think that adds an element to it. It was Patrick Henry. But Paul Revere was riding, warning, the British are coming, the British are coming, the British are coming. And we're saying, judgment is coming, judgment is coming. Repent, repent, repent. So there's a big analogy.
Very much so. Yes,
and so it's up to you, listeners. Do your part. Get the book. Think and pray who God wants you to give it to. Go ahead, Lou. Is that it for that part?
Just one more line. This doctor, Anuruddha Hazara, of the University of I'm getting my words mixed up there.
I did too earlier. You know what? The listeners know that we're human.
That's right.
And we have to work hard to do this. We're not getting millions of dollars a year. We're no Sean Hannity and Laura Ingraham. They know and they respect our integrity, Lou. I think we're human.
That's right.
Go ahead.
At any rate, the doctor said the situation is concerning, but she said that the public does not need to panic. And that concludes that article.
Oh, gosh. All right. What number did you have?
I had number 8.
Okay. And now we come to this headline from the People's Voice, April 4th. Baxter Dimitri, Bill Gates killed millions of children with DPT vaccine. And, you know, that's diphtheria, pertussis, tetanus vaccine. I'm adding, Danish government study finds Bill Gates is responsible for the deaths of hundreds of millions of young African girls. According to the findings of a Danish government investigation, which alleges the globalist billionaire destroyed their health with dangerous DTP vaccines. And again, this theme of this program, the iniquity abounds. Now, this is going to wake you up. Now, you know that one of the goals that Lou and I have is to warn you, to keep you well. Whenever we learn things that help us, we tell you. We brought out a study that showed erythritol, and that is a sugar alcohol that is often in stevia products, that it could cause cardiovascular strokes and events. So we quit using the stevia that had the erythritol. Now, luckily, a friend alerted us that she had found something at a grocery store, and it was called Stevia in the Raw, and that is the brand name. And we looked it up, and they say clearly, no erythritol. And it does seem to be powder in packets. And so, you see, I've been able to make nice fruit pies for Lou. There were some canned peaches that we got from those wonderful Amish people. They're canned the way my mother used to can them in Pennsylvania, in glass jars. And I guess they were sweetened a little bit, probably a little sugar syrup. But I just take them out and I put them in a pie crust. And, you know, I just dice them. And maybe I will add 4 packets of the stevia in the raw. And then a little butter, a little cinnamon, and water, and then a little flour to thicken it, and, you know, bake it at 375 for about an hour. And, of course, Lou and I are gluten-free. And some of you who want to really look into things in depth, you really ought to buy a book called Wheat Belly. And that says your stomach, you know, belly, Wheat Belly by Dr. William Davis. And we just got another copy to give to a relative on Amazon. It's still being sold paperback. He details in a very scientific manner how wheat is harmful to all of us, not just people who have to be gluten-free like Lou and me, because the wheat has changed from the early type of wheat. So you might want to look into that. A lot of neurological problems and illnesses are linked, we think, to this ingestion of the gluten and the wheat. So you might want to think about this and check on your diet. And now, and when we're giving this update, so now there's a way you can cut some of that sugar out of your diet. The other thing that we reported on in the last year was Dr. Mercola's expose of the mRNA in the vaccines given to pigs over the last years. They have been being injected with vaccines that have mRNA in them. So Lou and I have stopped eating all pork, unless we can find a very organic farm you know, that has had no vaccines whatsoever. Perhaps someday we'll eat ham again. I don't know. But so far we've been told that the beef is safe. So we want to tell you about it. But now let's just get this article because it's very apropos. Baxter Dimitri, April 3rd, the People's Voice. American rancher blows whistle on horrifying mRNA vaccine results in livestock. An American rancher has blown the whistle on the results of mRNA vaccine tests in livestock, revealing that more than a quarter of the animals died or experienced horrifying side effects, including lameness, anorexia, and near-death symptoms. Disturbingly, from the point of view of the consumer, the autopsies were still found to have remnants of the live mRNA virus inside the meat of these animals. They took 525 hogs, injected them with a live mRNA vaccine, and in 21 days, these were the statistics. 25 of them. Lou, you stapled that right over the word. I can't see it. Oh,
sorry about
no,
that.
I've moved it. Suffered. 25 of them suffered from death. Isn't that a funny way to say that? You don't suffer. You're gone, you know.
Yeah, you're just plain gone.
They should have had experienced death or went to death. 55 of them became so anorexic that they were near death. 20 of them suffered from lameness. 12 of them suffered from loss of condition. I don't know what that means. Do you?
I guess it means, like, if you're in good condition as an athlete, you know, if you are...
Oh, they're weakened. They're weakened.
I think so.
I think you're right. And 25 more of them had near-death symptoms. So we have 70% of these animals that are going to be okay to an extent, and then we have 30% of them that either have died or have near-death symptoms. Now, you know, we have to interject. That 70% that seem okay, they're going to be going to the grocery store, aren't they?
Yeah.
And, you know, you and I found an old, it was a natural brand of bacon. Well, oh, gosh, we've missed bacon. And we found it back in our freezer that has needed to be defrosted for 4 years. We have to just keep chipping away at the ice because we don't want to lose everything that's in there. And we don't have another place in our refrigerator big enough to put some of the stuff as we thought. So month after month, this situation continues. But somehow, this had worked its way toward the front. And it was a good natural brand of bacon, and boy, was I tempted. But you know, God kept working on me. And then later I said, you know, it wouldn't be worth it, would it? Now, as we read this article, I would have been flabbergasted had we eaten that bacon. I think not. Now, back to the article, they did autopsies on the ones that had passed away, and they still found remnants of the live virus vaccine inside the meat of these animals. In other words, these were the cadavers, Lou.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. So from a consumer standpoint, we have to worry about a live virus being inside of our meat that we're putting inside of our bodies. And as a producer standpoint, we have to worry about the health of our animals that can ultimately destroy us, destroy our herd, and destroy our business altogether. But, Lou, you read that Moderna, and let's remember, to those who worship Israel, we were told that Moderna's headquarters are at 666 somewhere in Israel, weren't we?
That's what we were told.
If that's accurate information. So we'd better face up. There's a lot of evil everywhere, enough evil to go around. So there we have it with the mRNA. Do you have 9C?
I do.
Go ahead.
WEF to kill 4 billion with net zero agenda. From newsaddicts.com, April 3rd, Hunter Fielding. The World Economic Forum, WEF, is planning to kill a staggering 4 billion people using a key tool in its depopulation agenda, net zero. WEF and its fellow unelected globalist leaders are pushing for governments around the world to phase out fossil fuels. Leading experts have spoken out against their plans and are warning the public that the WEF's net zero goal to eliminate fossil fuels will result in the deaths of over 4 billion people or more. The net zero target to end fossil fuel use is part of the WEF and UN's Agenda 2030 and also Agenda 2050 plans for humanity, and involves dramatically reducing fossil reliance by 2030 and completely eliminating their use by 2050. Then, Russia. Conflict with Europe inevitable if NATO deploys troops in Ukraine.
Now, let's just see, Lou, for a moment. We have to tell the listeners this is a segue now to the other great fear of what the New World Order has wanted since 1871, when Albert Pike, Freemason Albert Pike, wrote to Giuseppe Mazzini, planning the Third World War. And it would bring the Muslim world against the so-called Zionist world. They'd fight till exhaustion, then they'd unleash terrible chaos, Christianity would be destroyed, and then we're in hell on earth. So go ahead, Lou.
And this is coming from PressTV.ir. That's the website. Again, the headline, Russia. Conflict with Europe inevitable if NATO deploys troops in Ukraine. This does not seem to have any author stated. Russia has warned NATO's European member states of a potential conflict if the West realizes a debated plan of deploying troops to Ukraine. The Kremlin spokesman, Dmitry Peskov, said on Tuesday that both Europe and the United States should, quote, assess, unquote, their support to Ukraine. He was quoted as saying, quote, in this case, we need to talk not about the likelihood, but about the inevitability of a conflict. These countries must also assess and be aware of this, asking themselves whether this is in their interest as well as the interests of the citizens of their countries, Peskov told journalists during a daily call. The comments came a day after President Emmanuel Macron of France openly discussed the possibility of sending European troops to Ukraine. On Monday, the French president stated that the possibility of sending troops to Ukraine could not be dismissed, despite the lack of quote-unquote consensus on the matter. There is no consensus, this is the quote, there is no consensus at this stage to send troops on the ground, Macron said. And we have, in a related article, Russia, we have slipped into war with NATO. And this is Lou speaking. And now, the warning's not heeded. Al Turner, April 4th, reports this new sobering Kremlin statement. In a striking admission, Kremlin spokesman Dmitry Peskov said this morning, quote, in fact, relations have now slipped to the level of direct confrontation, unquote. He continued by saying, quote, NATO was already involved in the conflict surrounding Ukraine and continues to move towards our borders and expand its military infrastructure towards our borders, unquote. Elsewhere, Russian Deputy Foreign Minister Alexander Grishko says relations with NATO are, quote, predictably and deliberately, unquote, deteriorating, and all channels of dialogue between Moscow and the alliance have been brought to a critical zero level by Washington and Brussels. And then we go to U.S., Philippines, Japan, and Australia conduct first joint military exercise in South China Sea. China launched patrols in the South China Sea in response. This is by Dave Ducamp, April 7th, 2024. And the website was antiwar.com. The U.S., Japan, the Philippines, and Australia conducted joint military exercises in the South China Sea on Sunday in a provocative show of force aimed at China. According to Japan's Kyoto News, the drills marked the first full-scale exercise between the four nations. The U.S. has been looking to increase military cooperation between its treaty allies in the region as part of its military buildup to prepare for a future war with China. The four countries released a joint statement that made clear the drills were meant to push back on China's claim to the South China Sea. The statement said, quote, "We stand with all nations in safeguarding the international order based on the rule of law that is the foundation for a peaceful and stable Indo-Pacific region," unquote. According to the South China Morning Post, the drills included two Philippine vessels, one American ship, one Australian ship, and a Japanese ship, and focused on anti-submarine warfare training, tactical exercises, and photo exercises. China launched patrols in the South China Sea in the same day, and what appeared to be a response to the drill. And here we have a quote, the Southern Theater Command of the People's Liberation Army will conduct a joint air and sea combat patrol in the South China Sea on April 7th, unquote, the Chinese military Southern Theater Command said. The joint drills come as tensions are soaring between China and the Philippines over disputed rocks and reefs in the South China Sea. Chinese and Philippine vessels frequently have tense encounters in the waters, which often end in collision. In the most recent incident, a Chinese vessel fired a water cannon at a Philippine supply boat, injuring several crew members. The incidents in the South China Sea could potentially spark a major war, as the U.S. has repeatedly affirmed that the U.S.-Philippine Mutual Defense Treaty applies to attacks on Philippine vessels in the disputed waters. And this is Lou speaking. Are the drumbeats of a staggering World War III now ominously close? We must not fail to pray daily to Almighty God for his mercy in foiling such horror, for him to give us more time for repentance.
And do you have a little more on that coming World War III?
I have...
About nuclear things?
Oh, yes. Now, this has to do with Israel. Israel conducting Air Force drills in preparation for a strike on Iranian nuclear facilities in a scenario that could blow the Middle East wide open. This is from NowTheEndBegins.com by Jeffrey Greider. Israel is preparing to strike Iranian nuclear plants if faced with a revenge attack for the death of a top Tehran commander last week. Jeffrey Greider says, "I think that taking out Iran's nuclear facilities should have been done 10 years ago. You'll remember that Russia built their reactors for them. The thing that helped Iran the most was having the full support of then-President Barack Obama, who gave the terrorist state everything they wanted in his infamous nuclear treaty of 2015.
And the People's Voice, April 7th, has this headline, Israel threatens to nuke Iran if America stops supplying billions in aid. The Israeli government has threatened to nuke Iran if America stops sending billions in military aid to the country. Then we have April 1st, 2024, InfoWars, exclusive. Colonel Douglas McGregor warns attack on Iran would cause World War III and mass migration. Army Colonel Douglas McGregor, retired, joined the Alex Jones Show to discuss the unfolding geopolitical developments in the Middle East and how the Israel-Gaza conflict may expand into a direct war with Iran. And then we come right back to our homeland. The other plan besides World War III is to starve us all. And again, you want to get our book to see that chapter on how many food production supplies were destroyed in the year 2022. Just send a note to Lou Caverly that you would like our new book, Post Office Box 28, Bethlehem, Maryland, 21609. InfoWars, March 14th. And this was then put under Ethan Huff at Natural News. The globalist plan to eliminate all farms. No more food, no more humans. This is why farmers in places like the Netherlands, France, and Italy are roaring their tractors through the town squares and into their nation's respective capitals to throw manure at political leaders. The war on farms is part of a greater depopulation program. Much of the world's farming community is still in the dark about the globalist plot to take over their land and render it desolate, all in the name of going net zero for the climate. As explained by author Dr. Vernon Coleman, nothing about the climate change and global warming agenda is accidental or random. It was thoroughly planned for such a time as this, the end game being the destruction of farming and the implementation of synthetic, quote, food. The greenies, as many often call them, are no longer beating around the bush when it comes to their true agenda. Many of them state flat out and in public that if the world's farms cannot be, quote, sustainable as defined by the globalists, then they have to go. And we have to interject here. This is Elizabeth. We'll be telling you more about Tyson probably in another program. But they are giving the shaft to American workers, and they're getting thousands of illegals into their plants. So you want to think about Tyson, and that's Ballpark. I think that's Jimmy Dean. There are other parts of it, and we must think about this Beyond Meat travesty that is being pushed on us by Bill Gates and company. So now, back to the article from InfoWars, and InfoWars, I believe, was posting what Ethan Huff had written. Farming has no option, one of them is quoted as saying at a recent event. It will have to be sustainable, otherwise it will not be sustained. This is why farmers in places like the Netherlands, France, and Italy are roaring those tractors through the town squares and into their nation's respective capitals to throw this menorah at the political leaders. What many of them do not recognize, however, is that it is not just idiocy or mental retardation driving the green agenda. It is cold-hearted, concerted genocide at play, all under the guise of, quote, saving the world. Quote, nowhere is there more incomprehensive jargon than there now is intruding into the world of farming. Coleman says many farmers have been pressured into supporting the absurd rewilding program, which is promoted with such enthusiasm by the climate change believers. The conspirators' plan is to reduce the amount of land available for growing food in order to create food shortages, starvation, and a consequent inevitable reduction in the size of the global population. The aim is to allow between a third and a half of all land to go wild. Related, the so-called green agenda is a Trojan horse designed to decimate the food supply and force everyone to eat bugs while living under tyranny. And we've talked at length about the wilding project in America that was foiled by Dr. Michael Kaufman and Senator Kay Bailey Hutchison at the last minute, or we would have had many, many, many corridors in the USA not available for human population structures. We wouldn't be allowed to be on that land. So this thing is uprearing its ugly head again, and we're going to have to be watching for it. What do you have next, Lou? What's your headline?
Well, I have a continuation of that.
Oh, why don't you go ahead? We have a little time yet.
Yes, and the subheadline reads, Rewilding Means Dehumanizing. As pleasant a thought as it might be, in some ways, to think about the world's lands once again becoming natural at the hands of nature rather than humans, one must also recognize that in order to rewild the planet, it must also be dehumanized. When the greenies talk about rewilding, they do not mean just parklands, wetlands, and other already mostly natural environments. They also mean your farm and even your house, not to mention the entirety of commerce and industry as it currently occupies the landscape. The powers that be feel as though only they deserve to live. You and your family have to disappear so they can expand natural habitats and create a new Garden of Eden-like environment for their own pleasure and enjoyment without you in it. And here we have a quote. In order to ensure that neither farmers nor members of the public encroach on land that has been set aside for rewilding, and the first rewilding program was introduced by the European Union some years ago in a scheme which was called Set Aside, wild animals are being released, Coleman warns. Today, most farmers see their problems occurring as a result of stupidity. And I should mention, this is also a quote from Coleman. Today, most farmers see their problems occurring as a result of stupidity, ignorance, or a failure to understand their needs. But what is happening to them has nothing to do with stupidity, ignorance, or a failure to understand. It's all deliberate and quite cold-blooded. More and more, European countries are now dependent on imports for most of their food and energy supplies. And most of our food will be made in factories owned by billionaires, unquote.
And was there something about a simulation going on there? Do you see anything? Do you have another article that comes right after that? What do you have?
See.
What number? I have 11B here. Next.
Oh, yes, I have 11A. Yes.
And I'm not sure we'll be able to get into all of that yet, but next week we're going to continue with our wrap-up of the iniquities that abound. And there is no worse iniquity than trying to starve people. And I think there's a simulation. Can you just check? Do you see something there that will give them a little preview about this? There was some kind of a simulation, because when I pick it up, I say the simulation noted how such a scenario could sow civil unrest, particularly as hungry and fed-up Europeans push back against corporate greed.
Yes, there's one paragraph
at the bottom
of the page. The headline I should read is, after shutting down thousands of farms, European governments are warning about a future food crisis as food insecurity worsens. As part of their simulations, the government officials envisioned a scenario where there are numerous harvest failures in 2025 that affect the prices of animal feed, stunning the production of livestock and fish, while ships bringing crops eschew Europe in favor of higher bidders in other parts of the world.
Now, who was doing this simulation? Do you see? Was this the government? Was this the UK? The EU?
Yes. It says, the possibility that Europe might experience a major food crisis has become so likely that 60 EU and government officials... Okay, it's officials.
Oh, there we go. See, there they are. This is the Illuminati with their code, whether they know it or not, their moral code to let us know what's coming. But we can resist.
And let me read one sentence that really fits here. With videos depicting floods, droughts, and civil unrest to drive home what is at stake, experts will warn to, quote, expect a level of chaos.
Expect a what?
A level of chaos.
Oh, a level of chaos.
Yeah.
There's our word, COVID and coming chaos.
Yeah.
And, you know, we're here in the state of Maryland, and it's the home of crabs and wonderful seafood. But we've known for a long time that there has been a war on this industry. And we just learned about the catfish, that somehow the catfish, an invasive species, was released into, I guess, the Chesapeake Bay. And now there's one big, I guess, businessman who's been given a big government grant, a lot of money, and he can develop recipes for people to use. And, you know, it's just wonderful. We're popularizing the invasive species. That tells us something, doesn't it?
Sure does.
You know, we have met the enemy, Pogo says, and he is us. He is our leaders. So we need to resist. And we thank you for listening, and we thank you for helping us. Any more help directly to Lou could be great, to purchase more books and to do the things that we must do to stay on the air. That's Lou Caverly, P.O. Box 28, Bethlehem, Maryland, 21609. And may the Lord bless you till we meet again. Good night.